Hello, everybody. Welcome to another episode on the High Level Experience podcast. Our guest today is a visionary entrepreneur who has harnessed the power of the groundbreaking platform called Go High Level that we all like to use to create a unique global software company fueled by his passion for innovation and commitment to agency growth. He's redefining what support and onboarding mean in the digital age. By offering unlimited support, comprehensive onboarding solutions, live chat, guided tours, and a wealth of educational content, he's not just solving problems for agencies, he's empowering them to excel and expand in an ever-competitive market. His dedication to helping agencies unlock their full potential has made a significant impact worldwide, marking him as a key player in the industry's future. Please welcome to the show Ryan O'Connor, the founder and CEO of Growthable.
Welcome. Welcome.
Yeah,
welcome.
I'm impressed with myself.
That's the whole show.
Haven't I done amazing things?
All about that high level experience, bro. Great to have you on. So let's dive into it. Ryan, what's been happening at Growthable?
Well, probably the main thing that's happened recently is that we actually shifted a lot of our, so we have a couple of different divisions in our team. What's interesting about building a support and onboarding company is that you don't just build like the same resource pool of people to do the same, like to do sort of just anything and everything. You end up with a live chat team. I've got an onboarding team. You've got a ticketing team. So basically like you'll be talking to someone and they need to escalate it. They'll go to a different team. So anyway, you end up with a bunch of different teams in the division of labor. And yeah, that's interesting in itself, but basically, yeah, I've had a big shift this year, which our quality improved out of sight in terms of the conversations that we were having with customers.
Nice.
From a technical support point, yeah. Geographically, we shifted from Philippines to Pakistan, and there is
the whole
99%.
Nice.
And there's some serious talent for high level in Pakistan.
Yeah.
I know Pakistan's a big place with a lot of people. So I'm like very, very kind of like an ignoramus when I say that, but like, you know, there is a lot of talent. I was not pursuing that area geographically, but then once I started to tap into a couple of key people that kind of were the guys that knew what was happening, right? Like, well, they were just tapping people on the shoulders, left, right, and center. It's like, do you know anybody else that has high level experience? It's like, yeah, we'd bring in like three more guys, five more guys. It was a never ending. Yeah, it was awesome. So there's some serious talent in Pakistan there. I also, speaking about different geography. So Pakistan, I think it's like probably not that surprising to people.
Right.
I also have a friend who runs kind of a global agency purely for the high level ecosystem. And he lives in Macedonia, just coincidentally, but you know, kind of lives around all over the place. He finds talent in primarily kind of South America, Central America.
I knew you were going to say that.
Right. So yeah, like we're talking like, you know, I've now hired people. This is for the onboarding team, predominantly for myself, but like you could get live chat down there too. But Belize, Jamaica, Costa Rica, Ecuador, Venezuela, even though it's a little bit of a political instability going on and whatnot. But yeah, so all these different types of countries. And what's interesting is what we did was I had a course that I created, which is sort of, it's definitely dated now. I mean, high levels come a long way in 12 months, but you know, sort of like a 12-month-old, like I built this course, and the guy that was running this agency was telling me that so basically they start with like a large pool of talent, and they ask them, hey, if you're interested in working in this particular sort of software or whatnot, we need you to turn up Thursday at 3:00, and 100 of them are invited and 70 turn up. And then the next week, 50 turn up, and the next week, 30 turn up, and the next week, 10 turn up and whatnot. Right. And then you're left with like, all right, we've got some punctuality. We've got some people that can't use internet and blackouts as excuses and whatnot. And then what they do is they do a course. And I found out that a lot of these like agencies around like South America and even places in Europe or whatnot, Africa, were taking my course that I had on YouTube as like their first like qualification thing. Cause I ended up posting this course that I did, which is quite, it was like 70 modules or something like that. And they wanted to access free education to tell the marketplace that they knew something about high level. And they were saying that they had done this course on my YouTube channel, which I thought was kind of cool that like they would even bother doing something that I created. But yeah, it was interesting.
Yeah, man. So, yeah, well, if it's got valuable content, you know what I mean?
Yeah, exactly. I mean,
it's humbling.
It's out of date now, like, but yeah.
Yeah. What I'm curious though is like how this all started for you. Cause I mean, where you,
oh, yeah.
You know, how did you decide to actually launch, you know, white level support for others? A lot of people start high level. They want to launch their own thing, their own SaaS, their own, wow. You know, maybe a hybrid.
I can answer that for Ryan. He saw how amazing ChatHQ's products were. And he's like, man, I just got to get in on this.
I have had that thought, actually, but you know. Man, so I had an agency that was an outbound agency. So prior to, you know, we're going back a few years now, prior to ChatGPT being like publicly available, generally available, whatever you want to call it, large language models weren't a thing at all, not in the public space. But, and I had run sales teams in startup companies for years and was growth marketer as well. So, and I used to do, you know, sort of like, you know, dual roles, right? Where you're going to be doing the sales, you may as well be doing the marketing, particularly in a small company, so that you're leading both of those functions in true alignment because it's coming out of the same person's brain. So anyway, long story short, was doing that for a while, wanted to then switch into agency mode, and I was replacing the need for kind of more than one to two people in a sales development representative team. Like, then, you know, the SDRs or the BDRs of yesteryear, now they're probably all gone now, where you'd have closing reps, we're in the middle of the funnel down and everybody else is at the top of the funnel. The top of the funnel is like lead gen, appointment setting, right? Qualification and information gathering and blah, blah, blah. And we would go to companies and we would say like, we'll create like profiles on LinkedIn and give them backstories and give them, you know, education [S2] Nice. [S1] And whatnot. And we'll automate like, this outbound activity through like cold emailing, LinkedIn connection requests, follow up, you know, appointment setting, and automate it all. And as you can imagine, like we stitched together like things like, I don't know, time like Lemlist was then stitched together with Make and 10 other applications, right? And so, you know, I was doing that for quite a number of B2B organizations, right? Like there was seven-figure agency.
Let me jump in here. When was that? What year? Because that's intrigued me. Because I used to do that with like Google reviews and shit. I used to like make fake back in the day, dude, when they wouldn't catch you, right? Just make fake profiles of like 50 reviews for a company. So,
right. Yeah. What? 2020 would have been 2020 and 2021.
Nice.
So those types
That wasn't that long ago.
It wasn't that long ago.
2013, dude. 2012.
Oh, okay. You're going back.
Way back before like Google algorithms were really kicking in. Yeah.
Yeah.
So,
wow. Yeah. I don't even know. I can't even remember that far back, to be honest now. it was 2019. Like, you know, at high level. So, you know, we were stitching together like 10 applications to try and like pull it off. Like we'd have the cold email system and then we'd be passing off to like a LinkedIn system and then we'd be doing
using high level until 2021?
End of 2020. Yeah. End of 2020.
Okay. Okay.
Yeah. 2020. Yeah. Only about halfway through. Yeah. Like the partner that I had at the time just sent me the link. And I remember looking at it and I had no idea what it was. I remember opening the email thinking like, what is this? And as then I sort of started to figure out like what it was, like my interest in what it could do far, you know, it was outweighing my I didn't care about like my customers. I was like, I want to see what this thing can do. Like, I don't care that it like solves all these problems. Like, that was exciting.
You got that brain. It's rare because like you're just talking about this yesterday with one of my customers where he doesn't want to build, he just wants to sell. And me and like people like us, we just want to get in and we're like, ooh, what does this do? What does this do? And we're like touching all these different components and features. And yeah, people generally don't care about that kind of shit. It sucks.
Yeah. So. And it just like, it was distracting enough that it like fully derailed my focus in that business. I don't care about what I'm doing at all. Like there's something else. And so then I subscribe to watch Sean, you know, coming at me every day. Right. And, I would spend my Saturday mornings reading their email newsletter. I think I can't remember what the subject matter is now. It's called like the weekly roundup or something like that. So, you know, reading the weekly roundup in those early days, like everything was like just game changer for me. I was like waking up on Saturday mornings, sitting there watching Sean go through these long Loom videos about what was being pushed out. And I was just getting blown away. I was like, they are pushing so much every week. Every week there's something amazing every week. And I was like, man, you know, and then like, I just, yeah, like I was obsessed. Like I would be sitting there either on a, like my Friday evenings were sitting there watching like a long Sean video, right? Going through like all sorts of stuff, or watching Chase do a spotlight with someone who's done something really, really cool. Cause that was more of the long form content that they were doing that. And the spotlight sessions is what got me interested to where I was like, there's a big ecosystem here. Like, you know, what's the opportunity? Like, could I just ditch this agency, do something, whatever it is around this product, right? So I didn't have the idea. I just basically like, you know, I saw that there was not many people doing it, right? So that's how, I mean, Growthable came out of this selfish drive to, yeah, you know, I could probably see that I could do something cool. But also it was more just the selfish drive where I was like, I want to just like create a job for myself where all I do is obsess over this product.
Yeah.
And that's what I did.
And the market, so, and the market
that's
was
basically
small.
What I did.
Yeah. The market was small. I mean, like honestly, when Chat, so a lot of people still see Chat HQ as like this high level support company. It's so stupid. Like, not saying they're stupid, but like we did ourselves a huge disservice because when we came out with our knowledge base and our help guides, it was entirely for revenue. Like we needed development. We needed to like build a development team for our software. And there was no market. This was before like Beyond even built Extendly. They were like just starting. And it was just Matt DeSanto and HL Pro Tools. And we're like we could do that. Like not like to the extent that he's doing, but like, yeah, we can do self-service stuff because we're a software company. So we're like, you know, we don't want to have people buying the seats, but we could do this. So I see that like it's a perfect opportunity. And you had the ability to be like, I can do all the cool shit that I want to do every day. You know what I mean? And not have to worry about agency sales and dealing with small business customers. And
yeah.
Cool, man.
But, you know, ironically now, every time I talk, like every time I do an onboarding or a sales meeting with a potential client or a new client, I'm filled with jealousy, right? To be an agency
like at
in 2024. Yeah. Well, yeah. And the things that they're doing. Like the last three agencies that signed with me are all voice AI companies. And like for me, coming from outbound sales agency stock, right? Like in only 18 short months, going from how do we use high level to replace Spintax in email for personalization to being able to make a real-time API call to GPT, to have every single email go out, be completely unique, to then now like using a power dialer with a voice to then have a conversation with someone, qualify the information, store it against the contact, and make a booking in the calendar. In one conversation.
But see, like, for me, dude, I've heard all those voice AI things, and like even the best one, Air.ai or Air.io or whatever it is, it's still like that's what they're trying to get to, that point of like low latency. right? Where it's me and you are having a conversation, if I'm like, hey, Ryan, how you doing? Like, and this is like me trying to do my best AI voice. Hey, Ryan, how are you? I noticed that you're trying to sell your house. Is that something that you're still interested in?
And
then you'd be like, yeah. And be like, okay, great. Even just that pause, like there's no like personality behind it. So I'm just like, works, but almost it has to work for people that are like fucking running around. Like, I don't know what I'm doing right now. Like, I need to get off the phone. And you're just not paying attention to the euphemisms or like the characteristics of that voice.
Yeah.
Right.
Well, there's latency. There's latency, right? That's one consideration. But I think the other one that's more significant is the government, right? Well, and I've already read an article somewhere, I can't remember, how they are actually going to crank down this and trying to like either completely restrict this because it's too risky in a way.
It pretends to be a human or something.
That'd be like one reason. That I'm sure there's other reasons I can't remember, but you know, basically main point being is that they're already looking at it. Governments, especially like US, looking at it, and you know, so I don't know, like longevity of this, you know.
It makes sense because think about like A2P, right? There needs to be like very clear filtering and restrictions of hot topics or terminology or whatever, right? Keywords. And then on top of that, it needs to be opt-ins and opt-outs, all that stuff. And if you just get a phone call, you're like, hey, this is John. It looks like you're trying to sell your house. You're like, what the fuck? Like, hey, John, okay. Like, I didn't opt into this. Like, is this really John? You know? So if somebody called and like, hi, my name's John, but I'm a robot trying to get your information. It's like, yeah, opt out, right? It's not, never going to work that way, right? It has to pretend to be a human, which is definitely against the law.
Exactly.
Like against some law somewhere. Yeah.
There's already issue with spoofing emails where people can hack into your email address and send on behalf of your email address to a family member to say things like, hey, can you loan me money right now? I'm in the, you know, in the pickle. But imagine if it's done through voice where somebody hacks your voice signature and creates an AI voice based off it. You know what I mean? That's troubling.
I told Vit before this call, I do not want to talk about politics in this podcast, but that's the scariest thing to me with voice is politics, dude. You can get anybody. There's a software called 11 Labs. Have you guys heard of that one? 11 Labs. And you could get so with just the base subscription, I think it's like $29, you can do a almost perfect replica of your voice. And what you do is you take 2 to 3 minute videos or audio clips and you upload them and then it like replicates your voice. And there's inconsistencies, right? Like, so when I listen to my voice, it sounded like I was reading and I wasn't looking up. So, you know, when you're like high school and you're reading a book and just like, and then the guy walked down the hallway and then he did this, but then, and he did this and then he did this and you're just kind of reading and you're just like, yeah, I'm reading this shit. I don't want to be reading it. That's what it kind of sounded like to me, even though it was very accurate. It had that type of characteristic where I wasn't pausing. I didn't have this like, you know, like the emphasis in my voice. And so you, for an extra, I don't know, one of the top plans, you can send all those recordings and clips in to them and they do they call it like a lab created voice. It takes like 3 to 4 weeks to get back and it is perfect. Like they create your voice to a T. And it's and then they got the one you showed me, Vit, where you hey Jen. No, not hey Jen. Is it hey Jen?
Yeah,
hey Jen, where it's like record yourself and you're just sitting there like, hey, welcome to my video, and this is me. And it's like you not moving, but it's like, hey, I'm gonna help you out here. It's like you, your voice, your dude, it's fucking crazy.
Well, so here's another one, and I'm gonna have a go at this. Here's another one, right? In Descript, which is a software that I use to edit podcasts, is you can create exactly this, right? But I could basically take a sample of your voice, Andrew. I could take a sample of your voice, Ryan, and my one. I could go on ChatGPT and just give it a topic and just say, hey, generate me a three-way conversation, just made up conversation for an hour episode. Script. Grab that script.
Why don't we just do that? Put it in Descript.
And now you've got a whole podcast episode having three of us having a conversation. And that's audio, right? And I could take that, I could then take it to Hygin, also create a video version of ours. So now you've got a video version, and then Bob's your uncle.
That's crazy. Then Bob's your uncle. Yeah, you know, we got to do a segment. And we keep creating crazy fucking segments, and we're going to have to stop at some point. We should have a segment when we have an Aussie guest of things you would say in Australia. It's just like, I've heard Bob's your uncle, but I guarantee you it's got to be more popular in Australia than it is in America, right? Like Bob's your uncle.
I want to dive in a bit more into what you do, Ryan, and you know, what it does for agencies. I know we sort of talked about some high end sort of tactics and strategies already briefly, but what are some, like, you know, the most common, you know, benefits for a starting agency using white label support?
Yeah, it's a good question. So I've seen agencies pull the trigger on this earlier than they should have. It comes down to the individual, and I think if you are confident in your ability to have predictable revenue and growth, then, you know, I've seen people do it at like customer five. I've seen quite a lot of those people that fall into that category that are doing it around, you know, five, churn with us on month three, and the email comes through, and you can kind of almost tell the ones that the email comes through and they're like, hey, we didn't grow as fast as we thought we were going to, so we're going to take it back in house. That is the number one reason for people leaving Growthable, right? Is that you get the early stage guys that thought that they were going to go and explode, and they didn't, right? But, you know, I've got clients with, you know, over, you know, thousands of sub accounts, and I've got clients with like three, right? And so it's a tough question to try and give you a definitive answer to, but I think the sweet spot is somewhere around the 10, right?
Yeah.
Where we're removing enough of the burden of support that, like, if you're in a position where you feel as though you can't get on top of the queries, you can't operate from a place of your activities are driving the growth of the business, your activities are only there to support the existing client base, then that's time to pull the trigger and do something about it.
Right.
So, yeah.
I mean, the big one is the unit economics, right? So one is like, maybe you've got 10 now, but like, what is your churn rate, right? Like, because if your churn rate, and you may not know yet because you haven't got a long enough history for those 10, right? But if it's bad, that might be, you know, you might be, you know, jumping the gun too soon. You want to find out, right? And maybe that goes like, maybe if there were some indicators, maybe, okay, like, all right, so when you have 10, but also run a quick feedback to those 10. So you got a little finger on the pulse on how they're, where they're at with, you know, longevity with you, right? And if it all hunky-dory, that's probably safer to do it then. Because then the other thing is also, the profitability will go down, right? This is an expense that you'll incur. So it's given that, like, you have to go one step back to go two steps forward.
Yeah.
And so maybe if you got only 10 and it's kind of hunky-dory, but you know that you've mastered the sales, you feel confident, then even though you're going to take a hit in your profitability for that month or two, you know that you're going to recuperate really fast if you've got, you know, a solid lead gen in place and you can convert, right?
Yeah, I mean, I agree with all of that. The one thing I would add, which is just more of like an interesting observation after doing this for a while and seeing all the different walks of life, you would probably be shocked at the amount of agency owners that have no clue about how to use high level. And, you know, I was doing a podcast earlier this week, webinar/podcast. And I was saying that, you know, the most successful agencies that I see now are one part subject matter expertise, one part the right tool. So it's this beautiful combination of subject matter expertise with, in a relationship with high level, right? You can do amazing things, right? And I'm seeing all sorts of weird and wonderful niches, right? And they'll go and talk, like they'll get this sense that you can do all these amazing things, and they focus on the outcomes, which is what they should do. They should focus on the outcomes, not the technical ins and outs of every little bit of the platform. And they're able to convey a crazy solid value proposition to their audience. And the audience wants what they've got, but they don't know how to give it to them. And they come to me and they say, Ryan, I've got 10 people that want to buy my stuff, but I don't know how to give it to them. And we're like, all right, cool. Let us show you how to do it, right? Like when you get a new client, this is the things that you should say. This is how many touch points that you should give them prior to onboarding. This is the checklist that you want to have them. And this is what you need to do to make sure that they're up and running. They can send an email. They can integrate with Facebook, blah, blah, blah. Like, so it's really weird. Like I thought I would get like all these agencies with hundreds of sub accounts. They've already got it dialed in and figured out. Where we see the busyness come from is people have, product market fit figured out, but because it's not their product, they don't know how to use it. It's bringing clients on and keeping them that is the hard thing to do. So it's quite an interesting experience working with all these agencies.
Mm-hmm. So follow up question from that is, A, you can obviously provide support on the native, you know, high level as it is as a software and onboarding, meaning like, you know, the account setup and, you know, the fundamentals. But what about agencies that have very established, like, you know, snapshots, really robust automations, you know, for a specific niche? Like I deal with fitness, right? So martial art clubs, gyms, things like that. And I've built, you know, some really unique sort of workflows and all that. So for me, what would be important to have a partner like yourself that can not only support and onboard on the account itself to set up the account, but then also support on those unique workflows and you know, those unique needs.
Yeah.
I guess the question is, do you do that?
Yeah. We don't not do that, but we do have like this, I guess there's some interesting sort of clarifications and definitions that we make around like the, we don't do fulfillment. We do support. Right? So we can tell someone, oh, it looks like there's a problem with your workflow. Hey, can you share your screen and click this and click this? And that's generally 99.99% of the time how we resolve things, right? What we don't do is we go, oh, I'm going to go and now that I've seen that, I'm going to go and update the workflow in my snapshot and then push that update to all the linked sub accounts and blah, 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 blah. Like we don't do that, right? However, just to be exhaustive to try and answer that question as best I can, like, I want agencies to come with me and to come to me and say like, we don't do like everyone else. We do this slightly differently and the snapshot does this and the snapshot does that. Yeah. Those agencies, as long as they can explain how it works to us, then, you know, we can do a pretty good job of supporting it.
Yeah.
For those ones that go and buy some crazy snapshot, that's where we fall into the trap. And you being the exception, Vit, is the only person I promote for snapshots, by the way, is because you've actually gone to the effort to say, now you've got this, really need you to just like understand like, you know, how it unravels and how it kind of works and how you can take it and move forward with it. But there's far too many agencies that have the opposite experience with getting snapshots in the marketplace or whatnot. And that they don't understand how they work. And so it's like, how can we ever understand how they work if they don't understand how they work? So, and then,
that's a problem, isn't it?
It sure is, you know. But it's this kind of gold rush mentality, right? Like where, you know, I don't know if they come from, you know, the young guys in hoodies on YouTube driving this kind of thing. Like everybody wants to work at home and do all this stuff, right? But, and great, you know, I've seen so many successful people. I've spoken to hundreds and hundreds of people who have like, quit being a teacher and now they're, you know, got their own agency or whatever, right? But like I always advise that they don't buy snapshots until, you know, they're down the track, right? That you've obviously probably got stronger opinions on this than me, but you know, I'm running a support company. Get an understanding of what you're trying to do for your customers first. Have like a bunch of customers that you're talking to and then figure out how do I scale this by being able to clone my quote unquote infrastructure.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, snapshots are really good leverage, right?
Right.
And whether you build it yourself, which is good because then you know through and through what it is and how it works, or you buy it of somebody else so that you get that leverage, you save time. In either case, you got to know how it works. And And if the snapshot doesn't have a way to follow how it works externally, like a documentation, then it's going to be always a problem. So just back to the, you know, when is the right sweet spot? So we got that. So right about 10 customers. Mm. What about the speed? How quickly can you onboard them? Like, how quickly can you get sort of a plugged in into someone's agency as a provider?
Really quick. Really quick. Yeah.
Is it a day? Is it a week? Learning curve?
1 to 2 business days max. You'd have to be doing something pretty crazy for us not to be able to understand it, you know? So yeah, it's about 1 to 2 business days. The complexity of the SOP really drives that. Right. And, we've got a handful of clients where the SOP is just like really detailed and long, and we have to go through it step by step by step. And the expectations the agencies have is perfection. And so in order to achieve that, it takes some time. Right. And these are agencies that are doing, you know, they're snapshot driven. They're using third-party plugins. There's custom values that need to be updated. There's prompt engineering for a plugin that needs to be done. There's social media connections that need to be guided through. And, you know, when you start to layer in that plus the standard things like A2P and DNS, like it's quite a long, boring session that you've got to have with their client. And so that conversation that we're having with these agencies is like, do you really want us to spend an hour talking to them about this? Or, you know, is there a different way to approach it? But yeah, we get up and running pretty quick with everyone. I'd say 1 to 2 business days for sure.
My like as a business owner's curiosity to you is then how do you make it scalable when it comes to those agencies that have really complex SOPs? Because I don't know, like I haven't heard you saying that you charge a setup fee or not. But you know, like how do you make it profitable? You know,
yeah.
If you have been on someone's SOPs and like so much,
yeah.
Yeah. It's a trade secret, really. Not really, but it's not. So we have a plan that, so we say, you know, it's unlimited, right? So we don't charge for every onboarding session, right? Because I couldn't sleep at night thinking that I'm charging for my onboarding sessions. I just couldn't, right? Because what if these are all human beings, right? Like, what if they did need to go to an emergency or something like that, right? Like, I don't know. Like, I just feel real awkward about having had someone pay for that, right? They're already paying the subscription. So I'm like, let's do it unlimited. We'll figure it out, right? And what we've figured out was that the really busy agencies that are like spending 10, 20K on marketing or whatever, the easiest onboarding, it's a really weird paradigm shift in your thinking around, like, you know, honestly, the busiest agencies that I see are giving their end users the least amount of functionality, right? It's this really cut down version, and like it appeals to a mass audience. And so I'm an agency administrator for like hundreds and hundreds of agencies. I get every notification, right? About every user,
which is so annoying. That might be my beef for today. That might be my beef. There's no notification settings at an agency level, just right, at a location level. Terrible.
So I'm like, not like you, but I am part of a couple of other agencies as well as an admin. And some of them has forgot to drop me off as a user, right? I never even told them about it.
Yeah.
But I still get the, you know, the default emails telling me, you know, what account has been opened and whatnot.
Yeah.
Like there's no, like, it's so annoying.
Yeah, it's a good point.
Some of the agencies that we've worked with, you know, they've been bashed in the Facebook community group and everything for doing the wrong thing and breaching terms of service and whatnot. But like the busiest ones give away the least, and by doing that, the onboarding process is super easy. It's just the volume of people that we have to contend with. And so what we do is we move them to dedicated group sessions. And I don't know if anybody else in my space, like I've got a couple of competitors for sure, I don't know if they do group sessions, but that's how we combat that. So if like someone's getting super busy, and we'll see, like, you know, like we've got the data because we run it all at a high level, right? So we're like, these guys have like booked like a ridiculous amount of onboardings. 50% don't show up.
And they're, the onboarding sessions are taking 30 minutes, not an hour. You're like, that's a group session. Like, funnel everybody into a class calendar and be done with it. So that's what we do there.
How do you go to market saying, like, I value, or I what I'm bringing to my customers is of real value? Yeah. Be inside the niche that you're in, right? Like, what do you kind of hang your hat on when you're talking to customers?
Yeah, it's a tough one. So there's a couple of things. First and foremost, our size works in our favor. Whilst it's nice to be a big company and have economies of scale to leverage and this, that, and the other, our size now works in our favor in that the what's important isn't the size of our operation or how fast we can hire people and any of the internal garbage that no one cares about. What is important is what is the customer experience like for agencies, right? So it's like, I know we're in like this little inception-y type situation where white labeled, you know, so our clients are the people that we actually care about. And I think it's a huge responsibility, you know, different ends of the spectrum, right? Big marketing agency who's charging $4,000 a month for social media marketing doesn't have a lot to lose if they blow up an onboarding session or that they answer a question wrong on tech support. But mom and pop who quit their teaching jobs to go and start an agency want to grow it.
Right.
If you show up to the onboarding late or you don't show up at all or you're do a terrible job, like the client they've left. They are churning away from that agency and potentially leaving thousands of dollars of revenue, recurring revenue, like on the table. And so that's a situation that nobody ever wants to be in. So the quality of the people that we have and it's in a controlled environment and that I know, like, honestly, we have the best onboarding team in the whole world, hands down. Right, from a white label point of view anyway. And
I love it.
You know, the quality that we can provide and the customer experience that we can provide, you know, the metrics that we track around satisfaction are really high, right? So if you're an agency user and you tend to use your sub account of your agency between 9 and 5 Eastern, you'll probably see the same 3 or 4 names. Like, you'll speak to John and then you'll speak to Paul and then you'll speak to, you know, whatever. You're not always speaking to some random person. You can develop a rapport with them. They get to know what's in your sub account. They get to know that you're running an email campaign or whatever. And when you combine that type of experience with, on average, 1:50, on average, 98% satisfaction across hundreds of thousands of conversations, hundreds of thousands of user sessions. And on board, you know, basically being able to deliver consistent onboarding no matter where you are. So if you get a client in the US tomorrow, we can onboard them during the day in the US. If you get a client in Australia because they clicked on an ad, guess what? We've got somebody down there too. Like, and so I feel like those are elements when we combine them all are super valuable. And if we do them really, really well, where like the client, the trust that we have to, by going and speaking directly with a client is massive, right? And so we do that through one, our size works for us because of the training and whatnot that we can do to deliver like such high levels of, you know, customer satisfaction. So, you know, we don't have a way to see what that looks like in competing brands in my space, but we know that when somebody switches to us, there has never been an observation where there was like, you know what, the quality's worse. We've never heard that. It's hard when you're a service-based business to come up with really unique differentiators. The other thing, to answer your question more directly, is we don't charge for onboarding. We don't. We're unlimited. You want to come at us when you're just starting your agency out and you've got 3 to 5 sub accounts? Cool. It's unlimited. You then run a webinar and you've got 100 new clients that need to be onboarded next week? Cool. Send them our way. You're an agency that's scaled to 2,000 sub accounts. You need 24/7 for those guys and you're doing 100 a month? Cool. Send them our way. and you're only just incrementing your monthly subscription to us. So I think that that gives you a level of control in your agency when you're looking at the same way that High Level allows you to grow and you know that the fixed cost is $297,497. I wanted to be able to bring the same unit economics to my clients to say, like, all right, well, if you're on a 497 plan, that's what it is. I don't care if you're onboarding 1,000 or one person a month, it's 497. So I think that that gives you that ability to go, my operational cost is this no matter what, which is nice. So,
I love it. I love it. Could you share, like, from your from memory, any particular like success story or a case study where a growthable significantly impacted an agency's growth or efficiency?
Yeah, I mean, there's a bunch on it. There's a bunch of people that have left literal testimonials on my website. The best stories are the ones where, like, honestly, like, you know, like I love, you know, the big agencies and whatnot, right? Like there are, like last year I was at Dallas and I was able to see on the wall of people, you know, getting the SaaS award, right? Multiple agencies getting those awards that were my clients and people coming up to me saying like, oh, you're Ryan from Growthable, right? I'm like, oh yeah. And they're like, oh, I'm such and such from such and such. And I'm like, oh, wow. Like, that's amazing. What are you doing here? And they're like, oh,
isn't that a trippy feeling, dude?
It massively. Yeah. And they're saying,
that's such
like,
a trippy feeling. Yeah.
And he's like, oh, I'm getting the award. And I'm like, oh man. I'm like, so we've really helped make that happen.
Yep.
And you know, it's interesting. The best client, like we have some like really, really close relationships with our agency clients. And yeah, like they're just, you know, they're so loyal, right? Like they're like, you know, sending us photos of them on the stage going like, hey guys, like I'm collecting this award, but like you guys take so much away from my plate that like they're forever grateful, right? So I don't know if I'm allowed to. Am I allowed to say names and things like that? I don't know. But like,
yeah.
Oh, okay. Well, there's a guy. Like, there's a guy that I, you know, we probably did 9 months of being engaged with. He's got a company called Done For You CRM, and he was, yeah, like we was at Dallas, standing around the booth, you know, in the 30 seconds free that we all had there, and yeah, he came up to me on the awards day. I was actually standing in line to go and get the awards. Cause I got an affiliate thing, which you can see behind me. He was like, yeah, I'm here to get the thing. Right. And we were like meeting for the first time, but like we have this big Discord server that we use to engage with our agencies. And, like all year you're seeing like new clients come on board. You're seeing like, you know, I'm seeing his calendar fill out, right. I'm seeing, you know, the support queries, you know, increase, you know, on a daily basis and blah, blah, blah. And so, yeah, when I see them on stage getting those awards and stuff, and I know that we're really deeply embedded into their organization, it's quite a proud moment for sure.
Yeah. Okay. Love it.
Yeah. I think that's huge, man, especially because High Level does so much like awarding because of the industry that we're in. When you're part of that, you're just, you know it, and maybe nobody else does, but it's that instant realization that like what I'm doing for this agency is producing results.
Yeah.
Like without that white label support, that whole road to 100, 200, 300 SaaS customers wouldn't be as possible. Of course, it's always possible, but it wouldn't be as easy. It wouldn't be as fast. It wouldn't be as like simple, maybe not simplified, but like streamlined. Like processes are in place to do what needs to be done. Right. So that's huge. Yeah.
Definitely. Yeah. And like, you know, probably, you know, so those guys that go on to succeed, you know, 100 sub accounts, you know, more or whatever, like it's fantastic, right? But like the most rewarding is when we talk to an agency that's just starting out and they're just like little babies trying to walk, right? And you're like, let me show you some stuff, right? And you completely blow their minds.
Yep. Yep.
And they're like, and you change, like, you know, just through our conversations, right? This is probably more of like who I am as a person rather than my business. But like, you know, in those first few conversations, we're like, have you thought about this? Right. And they're like, actually, no. And, you hear from them kind of 3 months later, we're ready to sign up with you now. We took some of your advice. Now we've got 20 clients. Let's go, right? And like, those are like the cool moments where they weren't ready for us, so that, but they had a chat with us because they had at least the foresight to know that like, hey, if I'm successful, I am going to get overwhelmed and I'm not going to be able to support all these people. And they're like, hey,
exactly.
Like I had this really cool conversation with like this couple, this married couple, they're hypnotists and they help hypnotists build coaching businesses for the hypnotist. So it's like,
that's all.
Yeah. And they're like the nicest people in the world, right? And they're like, hey, so we're thinking about, we use High Level ourselves. We showed some other hypnotists at a trade show what we'd use it for. We got an overwhelming positive response. We want to go nuts. You know, we're just wondering like, you know, should we be on the 497? Should we be doing this? Should we be doing that? Should we have a snapshot? Blah, blah, blah. All those questions, right? And you're like, here's what I would do. And then literally like, you know, 3 months later, they're like, you see like a checkout notification come through and you're like, I know that company name. And then you're on to that, you know, you're having the onboarding call with them and they're like, yeah, we went out, we did the thing that you said, and now we have 20 customers and now we need support. And you're like, cool. That was awesome. I loved every moment of that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's awesome. Well, one thing that we can all agree on, and that's for sure, is that, you know, whatever white label support company, the guys that are listening, any you know, what are using High Level, decides to go with, that's going to be beneficial.
Yeah, that's right. It's definitely beneficial. Yeah, unless you spend the time like building support internally, and then it just adds so much complexity to your business. Like, if you're planning on doing that, do it. Whatever. Odds are you're going to end up ditching that and going with somebody that's doing it already, like Ryan. Or somebody, there's really only three big names in the industry, right? There's Growthable, Extendly, and HL Pro Tools. That's it. Like, the other guys are just very like niche or low end, and you guys are just like the rising stars, right? And so you're probably going to end up there at some point because that's their whole business. They're doing it for a reason. They're doing it to help you guys out. So you probably can't go wrong with any of them. And obviously we have Ryan here, so we'd love to see you guys jump on Growthable's plan. But, you know, there's a lot of people with Matt DeSanto, Nation Pro Tools, Extendly, and Bayat Singh, and they're all happy because they know, I don't have to fucking worry about this. I don't have to worry about support anymore. It's taken care of. They have giant teams of people doing this for a reason. So yeah, like, you know, it's a no-brainer.
Go and explore, see which one tickles your fancy, and try it out. But speaking of Growthable, Ryan, you've prepared a little deal for us, for our listeners.
Yes. Yeah, I did. Yeah. So if anybody's listening to this episode, or as one of your listeners in general, I guess, then one of our most popular plans is called our Pro Plan. And I've got a coupon the coupon code, if you use it at a checkout for our Pro Plan, is HLP. High Level Experience, HLXP. If you use that coupon code to check out, you'll get 20% off our Pro Plan, which is the best plan you can go on. So get in.
Wow. No,
we don't get it. We don't get a penny. We don't get a damn dollar from it. He's doing that all for you guys.
That's incredible. You know, just before this episode, I was, you know, trying to negotiate a bit of a deal for you guys listening with Ryan, and like, we settled on 10%. The fact that he actually pushed it to 20%, that's incredible. Thanks so much, mate.
No worries. Yeah. Glad to be of service. Yeah. No, it's funny that you mentioned like there was a conversation in the community. Cause like, I don't know, you guys probably live and die by the community feed as much as I do, but there was a conversation comparing like, should I do in-house or should I go and get one of these third party providers? Right. And there was a bunch of people in there commenting saying like, go and hire a VA, $3 an hour, bada bing, bada boom, done. Right. And I made a comment, which didn't get any traction. I don't think anybody saw it. I posted, someone said like, oh, I've used Growthable, blah, 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 because I was tagged. So I came into the conversation and I just said, I just want to let you know that building a 24/7 live chat service was one of the hardest things I've ever done. So just a heads up, if you are going to do it and build it yourself, it's extremely difficult. It is not easy.
Well, that is one thing. Yeah. And then the other thing is contingency, right?
Right.
Because that is something that it's crucial for your your business. You're going to be relying on this so much, right? If it drops off, then you're going to have massive churn, right? So if you have one VA that you spend all your time and effort, or even like a small team of VAs, but if something happens, somebody, you know, pouches your VAs or whatever.
Or they just disappear off the face of the
internet.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah, they could just have a bad day with internet.
I'm not saying that can happen with a third party like white label partner, but it's less likely because they have a dedicated business and lots of other agencies relying on them. So it's a lot less risky.
Yeah, and if one VA doesn't show up to work that day, you got 10 more behind them, right? Agents. Or if somebody has internet issues, or man, when I had VAs in my doing my agencies, like a monsoon would come out. We don't pay attention. Like you're in Australia, so you're in that part of the world where it's like Philippines, India, Asia, right? So it's like in the States, I'm not paying attention to typhoons and stuff and monsoons in Asia, right? Which I should if I have employees there. But the point is like if it happens, they're not going to end up showing up to work. Like a power line goes down or something and they're out of internet for 2 days sometimes.
Yeah.
Right? Absolutely. So good luck supporting your customers when your VAs don't have internet, you know?
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. So this is a good segue to our segment called Move the Needle.
Mm.
Ryan, over to you. Is there one particular strategy? And we covered onboarding, so we can probably skip that. But aside from that, is there one particular strategy that you know for sure helps significantly move the needle for a SaaS business trying to grow? Yeah. Or an agency, or a high leveler?
Strap in, entrepreneurs and growth gurus, for our Move the Needle segment, where we zoom in on one game-changing strategy, tactic, or tool designed to turbocharge your business trajectory, high-level style.
They say money can't buy happiness. Look at the fucking smile on my face.
Mm. Yeah, I mean, I've got good examples of what not to do, but there's a lot of varying examples of what works too. So I think my biggest
thing, I mean,
yeah, go on.
I guess I was just realizing, in all fairness, you're not really running a SaaS business.
I think because I think you can debate high ticket, low ticket, niche, not niche, you know, all day long. Right. But, I think that, if we take the assumption that the average, because what's really interesting is next time you're at Summit, right, and they put on those slides with all the statistics, right, watch how many, you know, like the majority of agencies, what the mean kind of number of sub accounts is. It's like 10.
Yeah, right?
It's a small percentage of agencies that go on to actually have a decent amount of monthly recurring revenue and turn it into a fully fledged business, right? And what I see with, you know, the hundreds of agencies that we deal with, right, is, and this is why I put it up as a slide on my podcast that I did earlier this week, which is the beauty is really made when you have a subject matter expert using the high level platform and they know how to make that thing work for their subject matter, right? And then you're covering so many things. If you are truly passionate about your subject matter, the way that you can provide like a sales presentation and a demonstration of what high level can do for that audience, like it's going to blow them away, right? And they're going to just want to like throw money at you and pay anything for you to be able to deliver the outcomes that you've shown that are possible. So high ticket, low ticket, I don't care what the marketing mix is, right? One, you'll be working in an industry niche or vertical that you're super passionate about, and that you can make a real impact in by bringing new innovations, technologies, or whatever to that niche, right? So whether it's hypnotists, again, breastfeeding moms, I've got like every example that you can think of, right? Like literal, you know, specific knee pain based social media marketing agencies for chiropractors. It's like three levels of sub niching down, right? Those guys are the ones that are really doing the best, right? They're not trying to compete with HubSpot and say, we do absolutely literally everything and we are the operating system for your entire business. They are saying, if you're a chiropractor and you have an MRI machine that can detect a very specific knee injury, we are the best at running social media marketing campaigns, and we deal with the rest of it, and we give you this system, right? It's a system. It's a system that works for that business process within the business niche,
yeah.
Right? So it's one business process within one specific niche that they've just dialed in, right? And those guys are just the ones that they're the ones that I see that are just rinse and repeat, crush, 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 right? And they're using their snapshots, right? And they're minimizing what they need to do for every, like they're doing less and less every new client they get, right? They're figuring out how to take more of the labor away from the fulfillment every time there's a new sub account. They're like, next time.
Isn't it crazy though, dude?
Yeah.
Isn't it crazy how human nature, like the way that we kind of perceive scarcity in how much, like how big the market is.
Right.
Most people are so afraid to hyper niche.
Right.
Because they're like, well, two things. Are there really that many like businesses that I can target? Like, A, the answer is yes, right? Yeah. I mean, there's very, very few niches where it's like 100 businesses worldwide, right? And then the second thing would be, can I do what I'm doing at a level that will not only sell these people, pull them away from something else, or maintain and retain that relationship for long term? And so if you answer those two questions and you hyper focus on one small niche, you can always grow out of that. I mean, that grow out of it, like away from it, but like expand, right? You just add, it's like building blocks. So you hyper focus, you build your revenue, you grow through that. And then you're like, well, now we want to add, let's just say level two of chiropractors. Maybe they don't have the MRI machine. And we have all this data and all this experience from these hyper focused chiropractor like customers. And we can just take that and repurpose a little bit of it and get this level. Right.
Yeah.
And so like, but human nature and psychology is like, but I'm afraid that if I fail, like what happens if I fail? Right. Like entrepreneurs were always thinking like, dude, I don't care if I fail. Like I'm going to hit it. I'm going to go head first. Dan Martell says that the definition of an entrepreneur is jumping off of a cliff and building the plane on the way down.
Yeah. Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. Love that.
It's like, you don't know if you're going to hit the ground and splat. But you're damn well sure, like, if it's up to you, you're going to figure out how to build that plane, right?
Yeah, absolutely.
Here's one thing I want to add to this, right? I love everything what you guys are saying, because this is so true, right? Being a subject matter expert, if you have your own prior experience in that industry, that's the best.
Yeah.
Right? Like, I've been in the fitness industry for 10 years. I worked from, you know, being at gym reception at Fitness First to managing a gym, to, like being a gym supervisor to then managing a big gym. To then being a personal trainer running my boot camp, I also used to teach at a fitness school, you know, the certification for future personal trainers. I know through and through, right? And so when I do build something, because I had that experience, I know what's going to work. But recently, the last couple of years, I've dived into martial arts, right? So that's not really my expertise. I don't have a like firsthand experience working in a martial arts club. So what I did is, and this is, I guess, following on this segment, moving the needle. And for you guys listening, if you're trying to like work out what you could do, is what I did is I started working with a club owner that is really successful, club, like a martial arts club owner, and then worked with him, dialed a few things for him, now working on other clubs. And what I'm working this week, because of all the feedback and you know, working with these clubs, is, and this is one thing that you guys need to realize, it's not just about helping gyms generate sales, generate leads, and convert leads. Business is about not just like generating sales and leads, but it's ultimately about being profitable, right? So if you can look at what influences profitability, so many things, right? So this week, I'm looking at, and this is all marginal improvements, right? So if you can do a marginal improvement of like 5% on a particular thing, that's still significant in the grand scheme of all the other marginal improvements that you can do for that business, right? So for last week, I've been diving into building a system for reducing cancellations for a club, right? Somebody submits a cancellation form. Well, there's two things, right? Like right now, it's like a lot of clubs, like martial arts clubs, they're like the head instructor is also the owner, and they're somebody that's, you know, 20 years doing martial arts, and they're super passionate, and they run their own dojo, right? But they do everything manually. Somebody wants to cancel and they talk to them and all that. well, if I can automate that process by creating a simple form that a member has to submit and then put some automations behind it for notifications and all that, that's already going to like streamline the admin side of things. So that's saving time, and time is money. But what I've been playing out with, and this is still a bit of a theory, but so far what I've talked with other guys, other club owners, the feedback's been positive. We'll see what the time will tell with the real data. But I've built a thing that when somebody submits a cancellation, I'm trying to change their mind to actually say, well, actually, like trying to save them from actually canceling and basically putting things in place like emails that get delivered like on a silver platter to the owner or whoever's working in that club to say, hey, this person has submitted this form. This is their reason for canceling. Here are a couple of different objections that you can use when you call them to try and save them from canceling, right? Now, I know that's not going to be 100%, right? But again, marginal, right? If I can help save 5% of those cancellations to actually going through,
yeah,
you know, like if it's 5% and then per year, if 40 members cancel, what is 5%? I don't know, like give me a number, right? Two members, three members? Well, in average, mm-hmm. average lifetime value of a member per year or like a yearly membership might be like $2,000, right? So if I save five, that's 10,000.
Yeah.
Marginal improvement. Combine all those marginal improvements from lead generation to lead conversion onto a trial, from trial, like this is significant.
The challenge for agencies in that situation is being able to articulate that. That's I do a lot of like coaching and training with agency owners on that kind of thing in particular. And I think every agency owner should do some sort of like community-based sales training or whatever to see what like how other agencies are going to market and what they're saying. Because like I'm like this career business-to-business software guy. Right? So I've always worked with platforms where the demonstration changed every meeting I went to. Right. And we'll have someone come into to Growth Ball to talk to, you know, they'll be having a coaching session with me and they'll be like, all right, so we are an agency and we try and get an example here off the top of my head. Let's use the martial arts example, right? We sell high level to martial arts school and we do the five, what do they call them? The fast five wins or whatever, right? Whatever it's called, right? Which is like the standard high level training that they talk about in terms of like how to go to market and get, you know, five quick wins, right? It's like reputation management, missed call text back, blah, 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 right? But then someone like Vic comes in and he's like, cool. So here's what I would do. I've spent 30 minutes at this martial arts school, right? And I noticed that you picked up this piece of paper when someone canceled. It's like, let me just show you something. If I could automate this and reduce that by 5%, give me a couple of figures. Oh yeah, $60,000 a year. Cool. And lifetime value. Okay, cool. If I was to reduce that by 5 cents, I could add 10% back to your bottom line. All I got to do is just click a few buttons. Here's how it works. Of course, right? But like, unless you think like that, unless you remain open to one.
Yeah,
being a platform is, it's like, you don't know what could be adding value to your clients, right? If you go in just saying like, the system does these things and that's it, right? Like you need to really remain open and get like a different perceptions and how different people with different value systems and worldviews and whatever else would demonstrate different things based on their relative experience, right? Like if you're a business operator, you think about things like cash flow and bottom line or whatever, or if you're, you know, a practitioner, right? You've got no experience in any of that, right? And like you're on the mat as right. the dojo guy. I think so. And one of my advice to agency owners is that the best case study that you can get is from a customer talking about something that you never thought was possible, right? You came in and went, here's a platform and it does these five things, you know, review, leave a review through reputation management, blah, 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 blah. And they went, yeah, yeah, Vid, I'll stop you there. You just showed me something. I'm going to do it this and I'm going to automate that. And you're like, oh shit, that's a great idea. Right. And then they end up doing something and you're like, I didn't even know that he was going to use it for that, but now he's crushing it because I showed him like a little demonstration of what's possible. I wasn't prescribing the solution. I was leaving it open for them to make their own solution possible.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So that is very that, like you said, it's very popular in software. It's basically usage-based data, right? It's like understanding, not trying to guide them in a direction that you think is best for them, but understanding how they're using the platform and then taking how they're using it and then like iterating on the software, iterating on your demo, iterating on your pitch, iterating on whatever the main core benefits are that you sell to people and using it in that regard, because the people are already doing that. Like, you're not saying this is going to do it and then force feeding it to them. You're saying this is what people are doing,
yes,
and getting this result, exactly, which makes a world of difference when you're talking to people. Yep. Right.
And yeah, during a demonstration, like let's say you sell it to real estate agents, right? During a demonstration, you're sitting there with a group of people from like, you probably know these brands like Ray White, right? Now, it's part of a chain, right? And like, mm-hmm, so you've got 10 people in the room and they're all agents and they think they know everything, right? And when they're asking questions during a presentation, during a demonstration, the best way to, you know, like I'll say like the one of the best ways to respond to it was with anecdotal evidence, right? And you say, that's a great question, Andrew. Down the road, and you say, like, if it's Ray White, which is a big real estate agent here in Australia, you say, this guy from, you know, so Michael from LJ Hooker said the same thing. And you know what he did? He went and built an automation, which, you know, sends up to 3 notifications to reduce their no-shows. We reduced the no-shows by 25%. It works out to be about $50,000 a month in recurring revenue that we've saved. It's awesome. He did it. And now, like, they're going to sit there and go, oh, shit, Michael from LJ Hooker did that.
Right. Boom.
That's cool, right? One, they don't want to feel
that's
like
a competition.
Well, they don't want to feel like they're the first guinea pig to try it. They get social proof and then FOMO all in, you know, it's like right, triple whammy. Right?
I love it.
All right. So guys, we're going to do a quick beef segment here. This beef segment is where we all kind of like talk about what we don't necessarily like or don't agree with high level things that may be broken, things that we want fixed. And it's supposed to relay directly into upvoting. So you can't just put upvotes in the community. You can't get people to like jump on your idea. They got to find it in the ideas board. So we're giving you guys a platform. And if you want to submit your beef to us on the website, you can go to highlevelexperience.com/thebeef. So you can submit your beef ideas to us. And what we'll do is we'll try to get them in the segment. And then, you know, if you have an upvote link, you can, an ideas board link, you can give it to us, put it in the show notes. But we want to give you guys a platform because, you know, things are still broken. Like, we love High Level. It helps us make tons of money, all of us agencies. But there are things that are still not working well, or that are released too early, or that are broken. So let's kick it off. Vit, what's your beef, man?
All right. So I'm going to continue on with that strain because this is kind of a follow-up on the previous beef, but this is a separate feature in a way. So my previous beef, I was just talking about how they've changed the UI for the email composer inside workflows, right? And whilst it looks right, nicer, what disappeared was the ability to add a trigger link behind a text where you can actually see not just the trigger link code, the key of the trigger link, but also the title, right? Previously, you were able to see the title, so you could easily basically made sure that that is the right trigger link. Now, when you pick a trigger link from the list of titles, which are, by the way, they are like shortened, so you can't see the full title. That's another whole beef and a wing. Because if you got a long naming conventions and that are similar, then you shorten so you can't. My beef for this can't, you don't know which one's which, is being able to add links, not just a bullet image, and you want to make that to be a trigger link, right? So you can do attribution, things like that, and get the insights, what people are clicking on. Well, now that's disappeared, right?
Just in the text editor, correct? In the template, in email templates, you could still do that, but not in the text editor.
You will still see the old UI, and that is the ideal. It looks older, but the function.
No, not snippets like email templates. You go to campaigns, and then you go to templates. You build like that really nice, beautiful email. That's not like this is the difference between this is like building in a workflow or building it outside in like a template. Yeah. So you're saying when you're building in a workflow, if you add an image, you can't add a trigger link behind that image, essentially, right?
Yeah. So this was on Monday. When you try and add a trigger link, it says incorrect URL. So I went heavy into the community group. Sean got tagged, or Sean responded, and then their developers did a really quick fix turnaround in a day, which was nice, right? So now I can add a trigger link, but you don't have that little selector. You can't select the trigger line. So you literally have to find out what the key is and then manually paste it in that field and then save it. Well, that's good. But if I save that as a snapshot and then load it up into another sub-account, it's not going to dynamically replace it because it wasn't selected through the selector. So that's an issue.
Yeah.
So that's my beef, really. That it needs to be brought back, because I got an email today and saying like, oh yeah, we're onto it. I followed up with a developer because I opened a ticket, right? Some of the support staff was just replying and saying, hey, I've passed it on. Developers told me they put it on their roadmap. And I'm like, that shouldn't even be on a roadmap because it's not even a new feature request. It's a feature that was there and somebody decided to take it off. And it's so significant for me as a snapshot developer that now, you know, if I've got heaps of sub accounts that are all using that same snapshot, it literally means I have to go into every single one of them and then manually correct that triggering. Now that equates the time, that equates the significant loss of revenue or loss of, you know, like there is an equation to money, what this costs me, right? It's annoying. It's really annoying. So guys, if you're with me, I'm going to put a link in the show notes and make sure you're up for this. I mean, I'm annoyed that I even have to put in an ideas board because it's like, it's not even an idea. You know what I mean? Like, it's just frustrating.
Yeah. So, all right. So I'll go with my beef because my beef's nice and quick. It's still around live chat. So ChatIQ built an integration with High Level Live Chat. We basically just we've been replacing the widget forever, right? Like their widgets are super single functional, like very... like, hey, do this one thing. So you can choose between SMS or live chat. But if you choose live chat, I mean, I've said this in previous beefs, it's super, super broken. There's one thing that needs to be added, which is workflow triggers and actions. So they, I don't know, to appease us, they're like, hey, here's a workflow trigger if the customer replied via live chat, right? And then there's an action. Hey, you can reply back via live chat. Super, super basic. It's kind of just like placating to us saying like, hey, here, we gave you something. What they need is, since they have the inactivity, so you have like a time frame for inactive live chats that end. So whether it's the agent's inactive for X amount of minutes or the user, like the visitor, is inactive for X amount of minutes, it'll end the chat and it'll notify them, right? There needs to be a trigger, regardless if it's the inactivity ending or an agent actually clicks end chat, there needs to be a trigger for live chat ended. I mean, there needs to be a trigger for live chat period, and then you can filter, but live chat ended, and then you can choose due to inactivity by the agent, due to inactivity by the user, or ended manually by the agent. Because at that point then, and obviously there's a bunch of stuff that would have to play into this that I've said in other beefs that's broken. But let's just say in a perfect world, everything's perfect, everything's fixed. Once it's ended for any reason, there needs to be things that can happen. We need to add tags, add notes, SMS, send an SMS to the user. Send an email to the user, move them in an opportunity, add them to another workflow. I mean, there is a plethora of things, and it blew my mind. So when we built the integration, we're like, oh yeah, this is great. And we started testing it and we're like, this is ridiculous. And Vitz heard this joke before. So Ryan, this is new to you, but, Sean always said he hated live chat. He's like, it doesn't work. It doesn't work. Small business owners don't want it. Blah, 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 blah. And I think that they launched like, and then Sean, I'm just joking, obviously, but I think they launched it like this so Sean could go, see, it doesn't work.
Right.
Use SMS. Like it's bullshit, right? But dude, they need those workflow triggers, workflow actions for live chat, or else it really is unusable unless you're using it for a very, very hyper-specific situation. And on top of that, the other beefs that I've had are like way, way, way worse. Like things that are broken. They launched it. So many broken features. So that is my beef, my friends. So I'll throw that in the show notes. So Ryan, let's hear your beef, bro.
Like it was interesting to hear both of your beefs. They're very specific to your, what was that noise? Is he trying to put sound effects on?
That was Siri. She thought I was talking. Siri thought I was talking to her.
I thought Vid
She's like, mm-hmm.
I thought Vid had like some special segment sound effect that he was going to play or something. Yeah, those two beefs are very specific.
That's post editing.
Yeah. Your beefs are very specific to the domains that you spend a lot of time in. And I was trying to think if I had one in my domain, but my, I don't know. My biggest thing is,
the thing that annoys me the most, which is probably the most relevant for this, is like, why can't we have agency level workflow buildup? Why is that not a thing? Why can't I go at the agency level?
Agency level workflow. Yeah.
Why can't I go to the agency level and go, if an account was created, then go and do all these things in a series of workflow steps and make decision making. Right. Like, why can't I say, if a new sub account was created and they, like, let's say I'm on SaaS mode, right? If a new account was created and they bought plan blah and this and that, then go and do this, apply this snapshot, then do this, then do that. Like, you know, I'm not just talking about when a new account's created. I'm also talking about, like, you go, hey, you know, you can imagine an agency level trigger would be, they missed 3 payments in a row. They, you know, when the number of contacts in a sub account falls below 100 for 3 months, send an email saying, like, hey, you're not really using the system. Is there anything we can do? Do you know what I mean? Like, there's stuff that you could do that needs to be done at an agency level that, for some reason,
Across all locations.
So
like,
it's almost like
you have workflows now, like in locations. Yeah, you have workflows in locations to say, like, if a contact's added or user, blah, 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 right? But at a agency level, you're looking at all the locations and saying, if a new user's added, right? If this is done, send an email, send it, right? Do things. Yeah.
Yeah. And like, it's almost like there needs to be a tab called automations, but on the agency level, where you create workflows that are like on that level.
Yeah.
And even like things like user login, right?
Right.
A feature that they haven't clicked and they haven't used that feature, things like that.
Yeah.
Yep. I like that, man. That's a great idea.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I just think it would be great for like,
we're going to put some, we'll put the ideas board and put in the show notes.
If you're running SaaS, you're doing it properly and you got a lot of new users and stuff, right? Like the ability to go, like when someone creates a contact and you've got like an automated email going like, hey, I saw you started using the system. Awesome. You know, here's 3 other steps that you should take. And then, you know, people that are, you know, you're like, if these accounts remain at 0 contacts created for 3 weeks, then do this. Do you know what I mean? Like, we need that shit.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I love it.
So it's more of an ask than a beef.
I think on that note, we can wrap it up.
Cool. I guess I could see it forever, right? Like, there's too much to talk about and not enough time.
Oh,
that's
dude,
my problem.
For real.
You know, that's why you do the podcast, right?
Yeah. Well, I want to talk to you, Ryan. Maybe separate. You had some really good webinars and I missed both of them this week. So I want to talk to you about it another time because I know it's too late now to dive into it. But I'm really excited about that digital, you know, for retail, for fast food shops, things like that. That thingy that you were promoting on your webinar, I think it was Monday or Wednesday.
Oh, Boomerang. Yeah. We still actually, we had a time zone mix up on that one. So that is actually still coming up this week. Yeah, Mike.
Okay.
Mike Inishev.
Yeah. Well, I'll watch the record.
Yeah, it's like, I've done exciting.
By the way, yeah, so
I've done like too many 2 a.m. starts this, and now I'm doing a 2 a.m. finish. So I've done a mix of 2 a.m. starts and 2 a.m. finishes this week. My time zone just crushes my life.
Yeah. Andrew, what is this? And just as you can correct me if I'm wrong, Ryan, but from what I saw on the website, it's basically a white label solution for, you know how you got those coffee cards, like 10 coffee, you get it stamped, so you get the 10th coffee for free. So basically what Boomerang is it lets you create a digital version of that, but it natively plugs into your Apple wallet.
Yeah.
So then you can offer it to fast food shops, fully branded little digital card, with a back end, you know, dashboard and everything, and you trigger things off back of it. But you can white label the whole thing. So it's not called Boomerang. It could be your own thing. And now as an agency that's using high level, you can now go to any local store that would be, you know, relevant for to launch this as a campaign and say, hey, not only we can do blah, 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 with high level, we can also launch your very own thing that is going to increase repeat customers.
I love the link to that because I know somebody that can actually use that. So I'd love to take a look at that.
Yeah, I'll send you guys the recording as soon as I got it.
All right, let's wrap it up.
Yeah, cool. Well, thanks for having me, guys. I mean,
Yeah. I'm all right. Literally so, could do like a 6-hour conversation with you guys talking about eye level, right? Like it's too much.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, yeah. 100%. No, thanks so much, man. It was great having you on, and we'll probably end up doing another one for sure. Yeah. All right, guys. So thank you so much for listening to today's episode on the High Level Experience. If you've enjoyed today's episode, then please share it with your fellow agency mates and other high levelers that you think would also benefit from listening. For show notes, links, and extra tips to help you grow your agency or your sales with High Level, please go to highlevelexperience.com. If you have an impact story that you'd like to share, then definitely do that. Head over to our website and there's a link so you can submit your little story and then we'll feature it in the next episode. If you're interested to be our next guest, you can do that too. There's a button there on the website to see if you qualify. And if you're interested to advertise on our podcast, if you're like a big player that sells, for example, like a third-party tools to a high-level community, then this definitely would be beneficial. So if you're interested to advertise, we have some advertising packages now available. So head over to highlevelexperience.com/advertise. Thank you and have a great rest of your day, everybody.
Thanks, Ryan. Appreciate you, bro.
Thanks, guys.